Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening today. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast.
Welcome to the Open Mic Podcast, coming to you from the Bay Area studios, where each week we discuss relevant topics and random thoughts, and you never know who will drop in. At the Open Mic, no subject is off limits. And now, here's your host, Brett Allen.
Well, what's going on, everybody? Welcome on into another episode of the Open Mic Podcast. My name is Brett Allen, and I am super excited to be here with you on this beautiful day, Saturday, the 4th of August. My birthday is in 12 days, so I like all kinds of presents. I like cash. I like gift cards. I like all kinds of things. I'm just teasing you. But no, really, if you want to donate money, I'm not going to turn you down. Just kidding. Well, we have another fantastic episode of the podcast today. A few days ago, I sat down with my good friend, Eric Hunley, and he actually has his own podcast. It's called Unstructured, and we are going to play that interview here in just a moment. It was a lot of fun. His program and my program is a little bit similar, and I thought it would be good to have him on. I spoke to him a while ago. We originally wanted to get together and do the podcast, but we just kind of fell off each other's radar and it never happened, which is probably my fault. But in any case, we sat down a few days ago and we recorded the interview, and I am just now getting ready to play it today. So I'm super excited about it. We had a lot of fun and it's going to be a good one. And then we have more guests coming. I just did another interview this morning with my good friend Isaac Lopez's son, Isaac Lopez Jr., and we sat down and we talked about a lot of different things, but he's just a super talented kid, young man, really. And it's been a lot of fun. So I'm excited to have him on the podcast. And we had a really good chat. He's got a YouTube channel that he's working on as well. And so once he gets that completed, then we'll play that episode for you, because you're definitely not going to want to miss out on that as well. Lots of stuff coming down the program, but I just want to tell you know, I've been listening to audiobooks lately, one by Gary Vaynerchuk, just all kinds of different things, and it's been a lot of fun. But I use this awesome app called audible.com. It's part of Amazon, and you can get audiobooks and listen. And today's show is actually brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our show listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast. That's audibletrial.com/theopenmicpodcast. And you can browse the unmatched selection of audiobooks. Download a title free today and start listening. It's that easy. It's audible.com/theopenmicpodcast and get your free book and free trial today. Love Audible. They're my favorite. I have so many books that I've downloaded, and I'm excited that they are sponsoring this podcast episode. And the link will also be in our show notes as well. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break and give you some social ID information, how to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. That's where I spend most of my time promoting the show, especially on Instagram. It's instagram.com/theopenmicpodcast. You can find us. Subscribe to the show, just click on our link, and yeah, it's super awesome. So we're going to take just a quick pause, do that, and then we'll be back with our interview with Mr. Eric Hunley of the Unstructured Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media, Instagram at Open Mic Podcast, Twitter at Brett Mon, and of course, Facebook, The Open Mic Podcast. And once again, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Goliath Games. Be sure to visit them at www.goliathgames.us. Make it a game day every day. I'm back into the Open Mic Podcast, where no subject is off limits. And today I have a very special guest. A few months ago, through the Anchor community where I started my podcast, I put feelers out, reaching out to some folks who would be interested in doing a deep dive on their show and possibly talking about it further and sort of exploring the idea of where they came up with the idea, what their process is. Because when you do podcasting, it's just a large, it's huge. Like, there's so many things that you can talk about and so many niches. And if you go on to Apple Podcast and you start looking for shows, I mean, literally there's like a million things out there. But today, my guest, Eric Hunley, he has a podcast. It's called Unstructured, and he talks a lot about a lot of different things. And he actually, we were just talking before we started recording, and he just actually returned from the Podcast Movement convention, which it's, I guess the best way to describe it would be like Comic-Con, but for podcasters. It's huge. So welcome on to the program, Eric.
Hey, Brett, thanks for having me. It's great to be
here. Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about, before we get started, the Podcast Movement experience. Why don't you share a little bit about what that was like? Because I imagine it was probably quite overwhelming, just all of this things going on. Let's talk a little bit about that first.
Sure. It is a bit of drinking from the fire hose. There are so many things going on there. Several, you know, probably 2,000 to 3,000 people, all walks of life, all different kinds of podcasts. You'll see everyone from, you know, just new podcasts or people who haven't even started a podcast, all the way to Jordan Harbinger or John Lee Dumas, who many people have listened to. He's a very, very, very big podcaster. Pat Flynn's walking around. And it's a fascinating thing because the folks are actually interacting with each other. For example, Daniel J. Lewis is the host of a podcast called The Audacity to Podcast, and he was actually my roommate.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
But we didn't have any time to talk. Ironic. Because
he's probably very busy, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. He inducted Dave Jackson, another podcast guy about podcasting, into the Podcasting Hall of Fame. They had that whole induction ceremony. But it really was a non-stop event all day into the evening with, of course, different vendors and things like that. There's always a party, and yes, I'm hungover pretty much every day.
So when you walk into the convention, is it set up like there's booths everywhere and you can just go in and you just talk to different people? People are there like promoting, let's say, their recording product or their microphones, or I saw Squadcast was there. Like, there's just a lot of different people there, right?
Yes, there are. That's actually in an exhibitor hall. They have one area where they have the exhibitors. And you mentioned Squadcast. That's a good call. I actually use them to record all of my episodes. Shout out to them. And I interviewed them while I was there. I haven't released it yet, but I work with them already on the side. It was awesome meeting them in person. And that's really, I'd say, the biggest, coolest part is, like, you know, these are people that I talk to, you know, off and on all the time, or, oh my God, my audio got lost, and they go find it on their backup tapes for me. And, you know, it's really nice to then, you know, go hang out with them, do interview, have lunch, things like that.
Yeah, they're great guys. I have used them a couple times and they're really great. They seem to want to be coming in and really disrupting the market as far as being able to record programming and just be the one-stop shop for podcasters, because there's so many different ways to record. And I think, I don't know if you shared this struggle like I did, but when I first started, I was really fighting to figure out a way how to record my show. Like, I didn't know what the best way to do it was. And there's probably a million and one ways that you can record, right?
Oh, sure.
as far as that's concerned. So, well, that is awesome. It sounds like a great time. I definitely want to try and go next year because I feel like it would be beneficial. Do you feel like that you walked away from it and are a better podcaster now as a result of it, and you have some tools to work with?
I walked away. I have some ideas, and in my case, most importantly, connections. I run an interview show.
Okay.
And it's challenging to run an interview show without having people to interview.
Yes. I agree. And that sort of segues us into what your show is about. So why don't you talk about the title and structured, how you came up with that, and what your focus is with your program? Because it's very interesting. You talk to a lot of different people, and I think that's maybe why you and I connect a little bit. So I sort of do the same thing.
Sure.
But let's talk about that a little bit, Eric.
Okay, I can go into a little back history as well.
Sure, absolutely. Yes, please.
I've actually been a fan of podcasts since the iPod. I listened to them in 2005, late 2005, 6, right when Apple decided to include them in iTunes. I was listening to them on an iPod. So I go way back. And I think I kind of halfway wanted to have my own podcast all the way back then. And then later in around 2012, I lost a whole lot of weight and became a runner, essentially, 2012 to 2013. And I thought, I'm going to have a running podcast because I was eaten up by them. And, you know, I was training and listening to all the different running podcasts and things like that. And I'm like, no, this is a niche. And I listened to Daniel J. Lewis's podcast and others all about how to do it. And so to start my podcast, I just started buying equipment, kind of overlooking the fact that you can't just buy equipment and make a podcast. You actually have to use the equipment and record something.
Very true.
So that took me about 5 years. And over the course of the time, I do think some of it might have been in the back of my mind that while I was eaten up with running, I was interested in training and concerned about, you know, getting better and better, and maybe I could get to Boston. Oh, that'd be so awesome. Really, there are only so many ways to train. I even, you know, picked up a coaching certification, et cetera. And there are only so many stories that runners have. And I'm not trying to, you know, push them down into a niche, but I'm saying there's almost a formula. And I just don't know if I could sustain that. I like other things, and I like talking to different people. So around 2017, because I kind of want to give credit to other people who I feel influenced me on the way. Mm-hmm. I listened to an interview with Joe Rogan, and everybody in podcasting has to know Joe Rogan. And I'm sure.
Oh, he's like him and Adam Carolla, between those two, tell you, you know, are like the best. He does fantastic interviews. I think he does
absolutely
a great job. And he just lets it run. Like, one episode might be an hour, one might be 3 hours. It just depends on who he's talking to.
Most are three. It's always, I always, because I'm an interviewer, going, man, he has an iron bladder. He has to. No, I mean, because he records it on YouTube. So it's live. And I've seen he's only, like, you know, had to excuse himself like one time. And it's like, okay, dude, that's some real zen there. Even the guests are like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. Hey, I'm good. And he'll just keep talking to Jamie on the side. But anyway, spinning back to the story, he had a guest on him who was Hunter Motz. And Hunter Motz is the co-host of what was the Brian Callen Show, became Mixed Mental Arts, then is now becoming or going back to being the Brian Callen Show. And I don't know if you know, the Rogan routine is all of his friends or people he likes, he says, you must start a podcast.
Yep.
And so they go start a podcast and they get really successful.
Yeah.
Well, Hunter Motz is on, and he started talking about Sam Harris. Now, I didn't see this Hunter Motz episode at the time. I saw a later episode with Sam Harris. And Sam Harris was complaining about this guy, Hunter, how do you say it? Matt, whatever. And he was just really upset and just kind of railing against Hunter Motz. So I was like, who the hell is that? That's one of the episodes I skipped because I didn't know who he was. And I only have so many. But I had to check it out because, you know, Sam Harris is railing about it. I'm like, well, what's going on? So I did. And I was like, okay, this guy's not all that bad. And I wound up looking further and seeing the Brian Callen Show and going, oh my God, they've interviewed almost every major author and intellectual, you know, thinker like Jonathan Haidt and later Jordan Peterson, even. They were early on the Peterson track.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, this is really cool. Wow. I read Norman Deutsch. I read, you know, and I'm just like, awesome. So I mean, I really listened to a lot of them, and I joined their Facebook group and was a member of the community. And in that community is a bunch of intellectuals. I'm like the, you know, midline dumb guy in the group, as far as I'm concerned. And through that, I was like, well, wait a minute. Now we're getting to my podcast.
Okay.
I want to also interview really cool people and get an opportunity to interact with them and maybe ask them, you know, different questions. So I have a angle and my own Facebook group, but I'm kind of similar. I have to say, you know, I'm sort of spun off, or really am spun off of Mixed Mental Arts, but I kind of treat it as if it's an idea pub. You know, when you walk into a pub and you just meet somebody and you're talking to the person, so what do you do? Oh, I'm a musher. A what? Is that really? Oh, so you actually are on a sled and you follow dogs? Yeah, yeah. How does that work? And, you know, that's really my premise, is I scratch my own itch.
Oh, okay. I like it.
And through that, I've interviewed a wide variety of people, the aforementioned musher, to Austin Peterson, who was the runner-up Libertarian presidential candidate, current senatorial candidate in Missouri. Brian Freeman, recently a New York Times bestselling author. And then Jake Bible, who is also another author, but he has over 60 works, and he can write a book in 4 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Innovation experts, Anchor CEO, I believe I was talking with you about earlier, off the air. That was a really cool opportunity to talk to him and how his service works. And there's some controversy with it, too, that we got to go over, and I'm excited about that episode.
Yeah, I'm excited to, you know, the thing that I find the most intriguing about this whole podcasting thing is, like, I feel like even the most successful ones have just barely, like, scratched the surface as far as what's happening. When I first started, I downloaded the Adam Carolla Masterclass on podcasting, and it was like $35. And it was good. I learned a lot, but a lot of it, it's him and Norman Pattis, who was the founder of
Podcast One.
Yeah, Podcast One. But then he also was the founder and creator of Westwood Radio. That was where he got his start, which I'm sure you probably already knew. Yes.
He's not getting it from Podcast One yet.
Yeah, no, they haven't made any money yet. And I think that they are just relying on Adam Carolla at this point to really bring in the numbers.
Harbinger as well. Harbinger show. I think Altucher.
Degrad, Dr. Drew, all of those guys.
There are a few. I mean, they've got some names because they are a podcasting network. And sorry for interrupting, but.
No, you're good.
They actually are relying on him and these others, but they're selling as a platform. So let's say you or I get our numbers, which will be only in a couple of weeks, up to about 50,000 downloads per episode, because I know we're going to be giants anytime. Podcast One may work with us, and then they will provide us with ads, and we will go through them, and they will discover the ads, the revenue, all the sales and things like that. So that's what they're really offering, and it's on a big scale for the giants.
Yeah, yeah. I think because when I watched this masterclass, they were talking about the fact that they wanted to do this thing called the Podcast One Underground, where you could actually submit your show to their format, and then it would go like kind of like an open mic night sort of concept, where then if you start generating even bigger and bigger numbers, then you can go to the main platform and make money through advertising. But some friends of mine, they have a podcast called The Lady Gang. They just got on to Podcast One. And I don't know. I think that's a goal, but I really like your insight. And it sounds like that you've got a lot going there, which is great. What are some dream guests that you would like to have on your show to interview?
There's some out there that I've tapped up. I think I'll get Curtis Armstrong on. I mean, you probably don't know him that well, but I really loved his book. He played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds.
No, I know exactly who he is. Yes.
He wrote a fantastic book on the world of acting. So ironically, he's a dream guest. He's not a big name, but I love his story. I actually had Dr. James Fallon on. It was one of my best interviews. He was, I'd followed his stories for years. He is the professor who discovered a brain scan of a psychopath in with his family, and it was his.
Wow.
But his story, what was cool about that one is he's told that story everywhere, from a TED Talk to NPR to starring as himself on CSI. And when I started...
That sounds really familiar, yeah.
Oh, I know you've probably heard it. He has a book out called The Psychopath Inside. But when I started the interview with him right beforehand, I kind of went by instinct. And this is where I'm learning as I go, and I'm trying to do my own thing. But I asked him, are you getting tired of that story? And he's like, yes. And he said, but don't worry, I'll do it for you. I'll perform. And it's not about me. And I'm like, no, actually it is. It's completely about you. Because the philosophy behind my show and what I'm trying to do is I want to give my guest a platform. And I want my guest to look as good as humanly possible. So when somebody asks them, hey, what are you about? Or what do? They point to Unstructured and say, I've got a great interview there.
Interesting.
So I went down a different path with him, and he loved it. Like, I do 6 to 10 hours of research per episode.
Okay.
And I listen for things in other interviews especially. I really like to hear people who have been interviewed on other podcasts, and I'm not trying to criticize other hosts, but there is a tendency, and I've slipped into it too, that you can get a little wedded to your question sheet.
Sure.
And what happens is, if you do that too much, you're not listening, because the gold is the little nuggets that they drop. And it's like, if they drop something, go pick it up. Let's chase it. Who cares about the other questions? So I might spend all the time writing out 25 to 30 questions and use 4 on a particular episode. I just have it there. And what happens is I see them there, and I know kind of what they're about. And part of my reasoning is, I mean, I literally stalk and obsess on them to that point. So right before I interview them, like, I might be driving home from work and I'm listening to them in an interview. Then I'm interviewing. It's like I've been talking to them all day.
Well, you're far more prepared than I am. I don't write questions down, and I probably should. But when I interview some of these actors or actresses, you know, or some of these, I've kind of had a mishmash of a lot of people on, but
cool.
I like the idea of just, you know, not being too wedded to it, which is a good thing, but I like the approach that you took with him, because now as we're sitting here talking, I remember hearing that TED Talk. And at the end where he sort of reveals what was actually happening, I've heard him a few different times. I was like, how can this possibly be real? But so I haven't listened to that episode, but what direction, I'm curious now, did you go down with him in your interview with him that sort of was different than what you did or were going to do?
Okay. Well, first off, I go by instinct, and my general flow is often it's kind of like, who are you and what do you do now? Now, this is ironic because there is a secret structure in Unstructured, but I like irony. So that's usually, I kind of start with that. Like, here's the present. You're Dr. James Fallon. You're a brain scientist, neuroscientist. What exactly is that? And he went on, you know, talking about brain scans and stuff. And he's a teacher or professor at the university. So obviously he's very comfortable speaking about it, but I wanted to, you know, first narrow it down. What exactly he does, because there's different specializations. So he studies images that are taken in PET scans, CAT scans, you know, of the brain, and while people are sitting down, so they're lit up. So you can, you know, see cold areas and hot areas where the brain's moving and working at the time. So I established that. Then I decided to go down a different track, and I just started asking, you know, I keep saying scratching my own itch, but I was like, hey, you know, I've heard that you develop and use different parts of your brains at different points of your life. For example, if you're a child, you can learn a foreign language and never have an accent. However, after like a certain age, like around 12, if you learn another language, no matter how fluent you get, you have a horrible accent. And we explored that a little bit about Henry Kissinger, how he has that terrible Germanic accent, no matter what. And his brother, who's like within a year of him, has none.
Interesting.
Perfect English. Sounds just like you or me. You couldn't tell at all. And then he talked about research that he's doing right now, which is just really fascinating and fun to me, about how instead of teaching kids or worrying about other languages, they're studying teaching children how to make sounds. You know how different languages have different sounds, like or, you know, the trilling of the R's in Spanish? Sure. And stuff? Well, they don't teach them any languages, teach them how to make all those sounds. So then later on in life, they can learn the language and the structure, and they already can do the sounds. No accent. Perfect translation.
Interesting.
So anyway, that was an example. Another part was he had mentioned in another interview that George Carlin was a childhood or family friend. And they didn't, they didn't pursue it.
It just, really?
Yeah. And that's why I said, you know, people will leave it there. So my questions are, they're prep because the guest may seize up on me. So boom, let me go down this or let me ask that. Let me note these things to check. But I went down that path and found a great, you know, story about how, or multiple stories, how George Carlin was constantly calling him and saying, Jim, I'm going crazy. I really am. And how he thought he was getting Alzheimer's or, you know, had a condition, et cetera. And Jim would go to shows and kind of be his field research. He would actually sit behind people and tell George how they reacted to whichever joke. And, you know, this black group, how did they react? Or this white family, how did they react? And different studies. And he would just be a plant.
Wow.
So that's a couple examples. So he has a great life story, but I think this is important. And you know what? You'll listen to every other interview. You won't hear any of that.
No. And I think that was smart of you to ask him that question and just right out of the gate and say, I don't want to talk about this, you know, well, willing to talk about it, but you gave him an open door to have the choice to discuss it or not, because he's probably told the story a million times at least, you know, as far as him. Oh, and then it was me. And it's like, oh, okay, I didn't see that coming, but that was very smart, I think, of you to do that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I touched on it, but did not really dwell on it. There's so much more that we covered. And he was excited and he liked the interview. So that's
good.
That's what I really like. And part of the reason for that annoying research too is you'd be surprised how much a guest opens up when you ask them a question that shows that you are really paying attention, or you ask them something about their actions or beliefs and speculate as to what it might mean. And that is an awesome feeling when they go, I never thought of it that way, but wow. Or wow, you do your research. You know, that really does help, because if I'm interviewing you, right, how do you feel if I reach in really deep and I just say, well, you know, how about this? You're like, wow, he really cares enough about me to actually, you know, look things up.
No, that's good advice. I appreciate that. And those are definitely things that I will employ as far as my show. Have you ever had guests go, I don't want to talk about that? Or
yes.
Or they tell you from the beginning, I don't want to discuss this. I've had that happen a couple times.
Yeah, most of the time, I've never, you know, set anything up, and nobody's ever controlled my questions. It's been there. I did send the questions one time to one guest. I didn't have to. I still asked all of them. Still got my answers. But yes, I did have that one time. And I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with it, because it was such a firm, I don't talk about that. Well then, okay. And I was asking innocent matters. I don't know. I may be editing that one out. It just tonally did give this real disconnect, and that's hard, because I study interviewers kind of obsessively, which I'm sure you can figure out. So not only guests, but how people interview is huge to me. And Ira Glass of This American Life.
Oh, one of my favorites. Yep.
He said something that I really find to be kind of true. And he said, I kind of fall in love with them a little bit. And I was like, wow, that's exactly it. When I'm interviewing people, I do kind of fall a little bit in love. It's this really intimate connection over the space and time. And that's part of the reason that I always interview with video if I can. Right now you're frozen looking at you, but it is so much better to get some kind of eye contact with your guest, to see their expression, see if they're tensing up, see if they're opening up. You can kind of pick up things, or you may say something, you watch their eyes go a little wider or whatever. Also, it helps to not interrupt them.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I like that. That's good, because sometimes it can be easy to talk over them and mm-hmm. not realize that's what you're doing. And when I first started interviewing people, I would always follow up. Like, let's say you made that statement, and I would go, oh, that's so interesting. I really, really like that. And someone pointed out to me and said, well, you don't always necessarily have to do that. Because, true. You know, just let the person breathe a little bit. And if they're saying something that you don't necessarily agree with, well, then that's okay. And you mm-hmm. don't necessarily have to respond. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. If you've ever had anybody where they've talked about something and you don't necessarily agree with it.
Yeah. There's so much nuance in there, because there's, first off, my belief that it's not about me. So I need to wipe my ego out. If you say something that's annoying, well, that could, or not you in particular, but a guest, let's say they say something that seems annoying to me. Okay. Well, if it comes from where they believe or whatever, that's my problem. I probably should get over it. Now, if they're going to say something like, though, if you take the supplement, you're guaranteed to drop 20 pounds in 3 weeks. And I really am worried here. Now, is this a legitimate thing? You know, is this approved by the FDA? Is this a, I might push back. Or if I know there's, you know, something controversial or whatever, I may go a third party, which is kind of weaselly, but it might be that, well, some people could say blah, blah, blah about that. How would you respond to them?
Hmm.
But usually, you know, no harm, no foul. I mean, I'm giving them a platform to state what they feel. It's not up to me to judge. It's to let them get their own story out. And I know mm-hmm. people who get upset about, like, Dave Rubin, because they're like, he never challenges anybody or whatever. I think my show is not political, so I can, you know, definitely get into that.
Yeah, I've tried interviewing a couple of political folks and it didn't go well for me. It just, I don't know, the conversation didn't jive and it was a little bit uncomfortable, and those interviews actually never made it to air.
That's where I think the notes and preparation would help you a lot, because
yes.
Politicians, sorry, they have their talking points, and that's something I don't like. I actually have an interview that I've got to work out on, where the guest was saying, yeah, that's in my book. I hope we get to talk about it. It's like, you know, actually we are talking about your book right now, but there's this thing called subtlety, this thing mm-hmm. called flow. We can talk about concepts of the book and then go in and discuss all the concepts and say, wow, and you know what? These are all in there and here's how. But when you keep saying, my book, are we going to talk about my book? It really is frustrating. And a politician, I feel, is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They have their points and they're just going to drive it, drive it, drive it. Now, that's where the list of questions actually, I think, could really help you, because you can flat out ask them, okay, well, what about this? And then when they hit a talking point, you just circle right back around asking another way.
Interesting. Well, I love that. And I definitely, I appreciate your input and your insight as far as that's concerned, and really just sort of the advice. I really appreciate that, because I think the goal for both of us, and we talked about this before, is to really make a business out of this and to really make it our thing. And it's hard work, but I think it's worth it. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, yes. And that's why I have such an unstructured show, because I have to be motivated to talk to people. And I'm excited to meet all these cool different people. That makes the effort, because there's a lot of effort involved, a lot less, because I'm enjoying it. I mean, wow. I get to meet really interesting people. And truthfully, these people would never give me the time of day. Not that they're rude, but the truth is they just don't. But they can give me and, you know, several hundred people the time of day because now I'm speaking for many. And that's a rare opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. I say that a lot on my show. Like, if I were just to meet some of these people in passing out in public, we probably would never talk. But I think podcast now has become a format where it allows people, even the highest of celebrity, to reach a different audience that they may not have reached before. And exactly. I think that's why some of these people are so willing to come on, is because they're like, oh, yeah, you know, I want to talk to this person, and then I'm going to reach more people. But as an artist or an actor, unless you're like Tom Cruise, but even to that degree, I think if you want to reach a large fan base, you have to really have your options open as far as what media outlets you're going to use. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And I think, and then that's the key. So what is your long-term goal? You've gone to the podcast movement and now you've got all these great ideas. What are you going to do differently now as far as your show goes, if you have any practical points on that?
A lot of the points are kind of around the show, which is that boring housekeeping stuff, which is like a good example is Instagram. It just doesn't suit me that well. And in one of the sessions, one of my favorite quotes was there, and that was, how many podcasts do you discover through Instagram?
I've discovered a lot.
Wow, you're rarity, because it was a pin drop. Nobody discovered through Instagram there. And most people don't. So I'm actually surprised. You're the first person I've met who does. But it's usually a far divide because, you know, like Jordan Harbinger actually was the one talking about it. He said, I don't go on Instagram to look for an audio thing that's going to eat up a bunch of time. I want to see a cute puppy.
Yeah, I mean, I promote my show through Instagram primarily, and I'm starting to use Twitter, and I'm actually going to meet with somebody this week to learn how to leverage that better. There's a podcaster, Alec Lace. I don't know if you've heard his show, First Class Fatherhood, through Anchor, but he does all of his guests hunting through Twitter. He direct messages them. And I have a friend, he's a publicist, and I asked him about that. And he said, absolutely, you know, you can do it just as long as you're professional and you don't overstep your bounds and you put your best foot forward. And so.
Well, that's different. That's an acquisitional thing. And I totally agree with that. You know, actually LinkedIn has been very overlooked, and I regret that. I actually have gotten much more active on LinkedIn. It's like, whoa, people will respond on LinkedIn.
Interesting. Better I've never thought about that.
Oh, it's far superior. In terms of, I've like reached out to people just going, you know, almost testing it, like, John C. Dvorak, right? Boom. We're connected. LinkedIn, because it's a professional type of thing, people are very comfortable just accepting connection requests because it's business and it's not focused. Now, like Facebook, this is kind of tying in with family and stuff. So I think people are a little more sensitive there, and Twitter somewhere in the middle. So I did want to point out the LinkedIn because I completely overlooked it. It was like, okay, yeah. I have it for my job and people connect. I just say, yeah, whatever. But then I realized, oh, wait, everybody says, yeah, whatever. But all of a sudden, now you are connected. And some people actually are starting to use it and the messaging within and getting back. So that's awesome. Now, Twitter, that's awesome as well to use it to acquire new guests. I don't know if it's as strong for promotion for shows. I think it's actually it's better for me than LinkedIn. I do know that people do click and listen to my show episodes here and there through Twitter.
Okay.
Especially, you know, the guest retweets or whatever. Instagram, I have a really tough time with because A, it just doesn't flow well with me. I'm not a visual guy. And B, you can't link in the stupid post. And that drives me crazy because it's forcing people to go all the way to the effort that they have to go to your bio and then they have to look in there. And you know, if it's not a simple one click thing through, most people don't bother.
So Interesting. Well, it sounds like it was a great conference and you learned a lot. And I definitely am going to, I want to listen to more of your episodes. One last question. What would be advice that you would have to someone who wants to do a podcast but has no idea where to start or what to do?
Well, Anchor is a great place. But the biggest advice I would give is go for good enough. Really, we all suck when we start. And if you don't believe me, go listen to your favorite podcast. Try to find internet archives and you'll hear their first shows and go, oh, wow. While I was at the, while I was at the conference, Pat Flynn played, his first episode from 2010 that never aired. And he is just the whole, well, yeah, I don't know if people are going to be listening or what they're doing. I kind of hope everybody's around and it's like, wow, he's us. And that's the best advice I can give is just, you've got to get out there. And sometimes you can only get through something by going through it. So you can only get better at podcasting by podcasting. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I don't like hearing my own voice. Most people don't, but I just push it through and I focus on things like tonally. Yes, I don't like my voice, but am I clear? Yes. Is the word understandable? Yes. Is my tone okay? Yeah. So move forward.
There you go. Well, we have been chatting with Eric Conley. His podcast, Unstructured, it's available on all formats where you can get your podcast. So be sure to subscribe and to listen. And I have a ton of more questions that I want to ask you now. But thank you so much for coming on and being a part of my show. I really appreciate it. It's an honor and it really means a lot.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brett.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to just take a quick pause and give you some station ID information about how to listen to our show. And we will be right back after this. Well, thank you so much to my good friend, Eric Hunley, for coming onto the show and sharing with us your podcast, Unstructured. And be sure to go to Apple Podcast and look for the Unstructured Podcast. It's available there and everywhere else where you can get your shows. And that brings our show to an end. Until next time, we will chat soon. Have a good day, a good weekend. Give somebody a hug. Let them know that you love them and let them know that you care. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for joining us today. If this is your first time listening, be sure to stop by the iTunes store and click the subscribe button so you don't miss out. And please leave a kind rating and review. And to all our listeners, thanks for the support. Until next time, cheers and be well.